This is Daily Wager Extra. Here's Doug Kazarian.
Welcome to a Daily Wager Extra podcast. I'm Doug Kazarian. We're taping this on Thursday, September 30th. We got the Bengals hosting the Jaguars tonight. John Murray's going to join us momentarily. Just want to discuss a few plays for the coming weekend. First things first, college football, Ole Miss and Alabama. My play, as is posted on ESPN.com's chalk section, is on Ole Miss team total. That's my favorite play for the week. So good stuff on that. So I 33 neighborhood, so 32 and a half. I highly recommend it. I think they're going to get their points. Now, whether they can stop Alabama's dynamic offense, we'll see. I do like the 14 and a half. I lean that. I definitely would grab them before I lay them. But my favorite play is the Rebels plus, over 32 and a half. And we obviously got there with the Bama first quarter over under. That was fun. A lot of you tailed me. So I was that always warms my heart when we can win money for the people. So I'm into that. Couple things for those who live in states with FanDuel and DraftKings. There are still some interesting baseball bets right now in the futures market. You can get Wander Franco at 7-1 to win the American League Rookie of the Year. I was talking about it when it was 29-1. But I highly recommend it if you can grab 7-1 for Wander Franco. I think with what he's doing, he's chasing milestones that like Frank Robinson, Griffey, and those kind of people. That's who he's being discussed with. So I really think when all is said and done, it's the most outstanding rookie, not the one who has the most games or the best stats. Randy Arozarena is the favorite, but Franco is special and he's young, and I think he's going to get the deference. So it's 7-1. I would grab that. Another person I really respect has Wheeler as a live for the NL Cy Young after Max Scherzer got touched up yesterday by the Padres. So at 25-1, FanDuel still has some offerings there. 23-1, I believe, at DraftKings. So there's it's like a three-horse race right now in the MVP. Excuse me, Cy Young for the National League. So I highly recommend getting in on that. Keep an eye on Toronto today. Robbie Ray's pitching, and if he gets touched up, we'll see about the American League Cy Young. I still think it's his, but it could open up a little bit, much like Max Scherzer getting touched up. So just a couple things to be aware of and some opportunities there, but I think Franco 7-1 at this point is still worth the flyer. I bet Wheeler as well this week, so a lot of good opportunities there in this final few days of the regular season, obviously the playoff and pennant stretches. So let's get to Mr. Executive Director.
Kicking is for losers.
That is the mating call for one John Murray. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good, man. It's very, very busy around here, but that's a great thing. That's great. I mean, we're right in the thick of like our busiest time of the whole year, and it's time to make hay around here at the Westgate.
Yeah, no kidding. Both football seasons heating up. You got playoffs around the corner in baseball. Really exciting time. Just sticking with the NFL, kicking is for winners if you are the Baltimore Ravens. The Detroit Lions botched the end of that game, and then obviously Justin Tucker with a ridiculous field goal off the crossbar.
Yeah, you know, I didn't see the end of the game. I saw the replay of the field goal. It's just absurd. But yeah, how could he possibly make it from that far away? But again, it's Justin Tucker, so is it even surprising? Like, what would you have made the price on him making that as he was lining up for the kick?
Well, as a guy who had bet Lions live, when they had the ball in the red zone, and I said, one first down and it's over. Even if they don't, you still have a limited passer in a ridiculous situation anyway. I just didn't bank on Dan Campbell calling a timeout when Ravens were out of timeouts, which I was okay with because you got a young defense. But rather than talk to the young defense and get him mentally prepared, he decided to go talk to the refs and yell at the refs about his guys trying hard and just completely didn't get his team ready, and then sure enough, Hollywood Brown gets behind them and a deep pass. Yeah. So it was Dan Campbell being an idiot. So I should have really.
Dan Campbell's
that
great. That Lions team is fun. Dan Campbell,
they
offensive coordinator Anthony Lynn, Jared Goff. That is a fun watch. I didn't see the end of the game because I was actually at Allegiant Stadium for the Dolphins against your Raiders. And the end of that game was fun too because they exchanged field goals. So it's tied, next score wins, and the Raiders are all the way down there. And you keep wondering, are they going to just kick the field goal? And they kept running plays so that there would be no time left for Miami if somehow Carlson missed the field goal. And the crowd's going wild, hoping that the Raiders will break it for a touchdown to cover the point spread. So that was very fun. And everyone's eyes are on the sideline. Is Carr going to come back out, or is the kicking team going to come back out? Finally, they go into the victory formation. They kneel down, and Carlson makes the field goal to win the game by 3. Dolphins bettors cover. And that was huge for the book. That was very fun to be at the stadium for that.
Yeah, so a couple nice results for you guys. I was on the wrong one. I was on Jacksonville, and they could not get there. They're redefining bad. But the book does get there with the Lions and the points, the Dolphins and the points, because that was a big, obviously, split there. I want to talk about these Jacksonville Jaguars, because I'm on the Bengals tonight. I think Jacksonville has issues with turnovers, and I just don't think that gets resolved on the first true road game of the season. I say true because you open on the road, but you're not coming off a previous game. You're planning for that opening opponent for a while. So it's the first kind of real road game, short week. I don't think those sloppy issues get resolved on a short week.
Yeah, and Jacksonville is a team that they, from everything I've been told, I barely watched them play, but everyone's just telling me Lawrence looks completely lost out there. Coaching staff doesn't seem to be doing too well in the National Football League. Urban Meyer hasn't really worked himself into an NFL head coach yet. Is that a nice way of saying it? I mean, I remember watching them. Who did they play week one?
Houston.
Yeah, that was the only time I really watched them. I didn't have a chance to watch much of the Arizona game last week. But so far, not good. I do think this number seems a little high, though. I mean, you talk about we had this number as a 2.5 on the look-ahead line. And the Bengals go out there and they beat whatever's left of the Steelers last week. And then obviously Jacksonville loses to Arizona. But now this number has gone all the way through 3, through 7. Right now we've got the Bengals -7.5. Probably your only chance of the year to use the Bengals in Survivor, DK, if that's the route. I think some people will go down that road. I would imagine so. The people that have already used Buffalo, they might go down the road here of using the Bengals.
Yeah, it's tempting to take the Bills. That's just the automatic bingo square. Sure. But, you know, there are obviously going to be other top opportunities. And I think a lot of it depends on how big your pool is, right? If you're like 15 guys, then maybe you should just use Buffalo.
Right.
But if you're in a huge pool and you have multiple entries, maybe get cute a little bit, because I do think Cincy's going to win the game. I am a little worried about the flat spot, blah, blah, blah. But ultimately, I think the Bengals are like a solid team. Like, they're okay. And the Jacksonville Jaguars are not. So...
Well, the Bengals are very explosive on offense. I mean, they got some really good young players on that side of the ball. No T. Higgins tonight for the Bengals, but I'm actually going to watch this game because this will be my first time really watching Trevor Lawrence play a full game in the NFL. I've watched bits and pieces of it, but I'm curious to see just how lost he looks out there, because what I've seen around the league is some very, very lost rookie quarterbacks. It's been ugly through 3 weeks.
I mean, you're going to have a bunch of money line parlays and a bunch of teasers, I would imagine, right?
That's really all you're going to have in this game. You know, this is a game that if it was being played on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. local time, there'd be hardly any money on this game. Because it's in prime time, everybody will feel the need to force a bet out on the game, and they're doing exactly what you just said. They're going to start their money line parlays and start their teasers with the Bengals, because it is a great teaser spot. You're going down to 1.5 with a 6-pointer. Relatively low total. Yes, 46 is a low total in the modern NFL, not the NFL that we grew up betting on.
Right.
Let's say it's an average total. How about that? I think the Bengals are a very, very good teaser spot tonight, and I see a lot of people starting their teasers with the Bengals.
Yeah, you know, every week you have a teaser or two that jumps out. There's a lot, and I put them in the ESPN.com chalk column. You know, it's basically like open a bunch of teasers with the Bengals, and they can give you opportunity to play out of and seeing how the market moves. But I mean, let's just get into those Sunday games that they're going to be heavy teasers, right? I imagine the Packers will be a heavy teaser against the Steelers.
Oh, they definitely will. I mean, the Green Bay is going to be one of the more one-sided games we have this week, if not maybe this month, this year. You're talking about a Green Bay team just had an incredible win on Sunday Night Football at San Francisco. About as entertaining a game as you'll ever see, especially if you're like me and you get a kick out of the refs just botching everything. That game was like a work of art for me, watching Jerome Boger just botch the entire game, both teams going back and forth. And then Pittsburgh, they lost to the Raiders 2 weeks ago, and they really got beat up last Sunday by the Bengals. We just talked about that game. Pittsburgh is getting healthy, though. They're bringing back a lot of people for this game. And even though the ticket count is like 12-1 on Green Bay, the numbers actually come down from 7 to Green Bay -6.5. So be careful there.
Reverse line movement, huh?
Yeah, usually when I see that, it opens my eyes a little bit. So you've got everybody in the world on Green Bay, and you see the market coming back down just a little bit. But from 7 to 6.5 is not a nothing move. It is worth noting.
7 is the second most common margin of victory in the NFL since the extra point moved back about a handful of years ago. So it's 3-7, then I believe it goes 6, like 14 and 10, I think, are the 5. Not 4. 4 is not that common since the extra point moved back.
Four not as what it was when we were young men, DK.
Well, what happens is that once you get to the fourth quarter, because scoring is higher, as you alluded to with the over-under, with scoring higher, more teams are scoring in the fourth quarter than before. So once you get that fourth quarter score, teams are not kicking an extra point to go from 5 to 4. They're only going from 3 to 4. So that's why you're getting fewer 4. And then the other team can just score again. And because of these refs that you mentioned from Sunday night tend to let the team that's losing big come back. You know, Murray, I've always
they do. I never noticed that. They let the team that's behind get a few calls to get back in the game. I never noticed.
I always felt you were a little over the top with the refs and stuff. Like Sunday was the first time. I mean, look, I was on the Niners. Okay, they had no business being in the game. Packers should have won by 2 touchdowns more. Like the 3rd and 13 PI, all this other stuff. I mean, the right team won, but it was pretty bad.
That was the ultimate example. I mean, yes, of course, we exaggerate for laughs. And me and Ed Sammons have a lot of laughs about the refs here at the Superbook. But that game truly was like, this is what I'm talking about. Because it seemed like every play, well, how did the ref interpret that play, guys? Let's find out. And then a very poor decision by LaFleur to kick a field goal to go up by 6. You don't want to do that. And the Niners go down the field, score the touchdown. But then Green Bay comes back for the field goal. Just some incredible plays by Aaron Rodgers, reminding all of us how great he is. He was exceptional in the fourth quarter of that game. It was very entertaining, and I got a lot of laughs watching that second half.
Well, I took a beating on the live betting on that game because of some of the craziness, but that's okay. That's such a volatile world.
We didn't do well. The book did not do well in that game. Let me tell you that much. Green Bay was a very, very popular dog. They won the game outright, and the game went over the total. So, yes, that was a very poor Sunday night result for us, for sure.
So the other big games that, as you like to say, you'll need for your lungs in terms of sides. So it's definitely Green Bay. Tampa Bay, it sounds like, right? You're going to need New England.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to go chronologically. In the morning, for sure, we're going to need Philadelphia in a big way against Kansas City. But the big one will be the one you just touched on. We're going to need New England huge. All the money's on the Buccaneers. All the tickets are on the Buccaneers. And that's just going to continue as we push through the weekend going into Sunday Night Football. Buccaneers looked a little they looked beatable on Sunday against the Rams. I mean, I think the Rams showed that they're right up there with Tampa Bay in the NFC, and a possible playoff preview there. But New England is nowhere at the level of these teams, and I can see why the public is all over the Bucs here. Although that number is pretty juicy. I mean, we saw some 7 earlier in the week, and you can get 7 right now, actually. So that number does seem a little on the high side to me. But I know it's the books just preemptively guarding against what they know is coming, an onslaught of Buccaneer money.
So I see you're at 6.5.
We're at 6.5 right now. We don't see that there's too much need to panic at the moment. We still, there's so much time between now and Sunday night that we feel like we don't need to get out of whack too much here. We had this number more like 4.5, 5.5.
Really?
In the build up into this game. I'm talking about like in the summer and in the first few weeks of the season. New England obviously had a poor performance last Sunday, losing at home to New Orleans. But we don't see too much of a need to go to 7 at the moment. That doesn't mean that we won't. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised at all if we're at 7 after we post those Sunday afternoon games. You could definitely see 7 around town for sure.
So I thought it would go to 7.5 and then max out at that, just because of the onset. So it sounds like, are you getting sharp money on the Patriots at 7?
I think that when you put up 7 -110, New England +7 -110, you'll start to see sharper players get involved. But maybe they should be waiting. Maybe if they were a little bit more patient, they could get the number you're referring to on Sunday night. That's always like the cat and mouse game in these games. It's if you move the number too quickly, the wise guys will just grab it now. And at the same time, if they were more patient, they could probably get a higher number by Sunday night. So it's a game of cat and mouse, but there's just so much time between that the kickoff of that game and right now. There's no reason to panic yet.
I know it's back-to-back road games, but Antonio Brown figures to return, and Mac Jones has looked very limited. I've been disappointed with what Josh McDaniels has been doing with sort of game planning with the rookie QB, but gosh, this just feels like Brady and the Bucs are going to be zeroing in on this game, and it's going to be a strong effort from the Bucs.
Yeah, but I think it's – got to keep in mind the Buccaneers were very lucky to win their opening game against Dallas. They were handled pretty well by the Rams last week. I know they won at home against Atlanta, but that's not really too much to speak about.
Well, that game was closer than the score indicated.
No, I know it was. Two interception returns for touchdowns in the fourth quarter by the Buccaneers. That was not the blowout the final score indicated. And you've got a lot of injuries in the Tampa Bay secondary. Does New England have the pieces to take advantage of those injuries? That's a separate conversation.
Right.
But Tampa Bay is very banged up on defense. This team that's on the field right now looks nothing like the team that manhandled Kansas City in the Super Bowl back in February. So we'll see what they look like on Sunday night. I got a lot of confidence in that Belichick fellow as well. So I wouldn't be in a rush to lay a huge number with the Buccaneers here. I think there's other places to go on the board. But I know what the book is going to need. We're going to need New England. One of our biggest Sunday night decisions of the year will be on Sunday. And I've said earlier in the week that there's a chance that this could be the highest handle Sunday night, Monday night double we see all year in Nevada, at least, because we've got really, really high profile games Sunday night and Monday night.
Let's talk about the Monday nighter. Raiders are catching 3.5 or three, mostly threes in the market. Underdogs in LA. Now the Raiders have been playing with fire a little bit, obviously down 14-0. Get a little boost by the Dolphins calling a bizarre like hitch play in the end zone for the safety.
That was right underneath me.
Come on.
And because you know, I had played Miami, and I just was like, what the hell are they doing? Like, why? Even if that was the play call, just throw it over his head, or if he somehow throws it to you, just knock it to the ground. What a disastrous play that was. I did get a good laugh out of it, but terrible play by Miami.
Right, so the Raiders obviously escaped there, although, you know, they were in control the second half. They really escaped the opener, and then things break their way with T.J. Watt getting hurt in the first quarter, and they did. Big Ben just stunk. So, but my point is the win at Pittsburgh isn't as impressive as we thought at the time. So they're 3-0, give them credit, but you know the Chargers have been almost more impressive at 2-1, and I understand the line being 3.5 feels a little hefty though. It feels like the line's right here.
Yeah, and the Chargers, they played a pretty tough schedule too. I mean, not a real tough game against Washington, but they played Dallas, and then obviously last week they won at Kansas City. So they've had a tough road so far. They've been very impressive. I mean, winning at Kansas City has got to be one of the better wins any team in the league has posted this season. You're from L.A. You've got a better handle on this than I do. We're estimating 80% Raiders fans at this game in Los Angeles on Monday night? I mean, what do you think of that number?
Yeah, that's probably a good poll, maybe even higher. I mean, if I was a Raiders, if I was living in LA, I would go to this game for sure. The Chargers being from San Diego originally, there's just not much like LA embracing them. I think the fringe fans have definitely taken on the Rams more than like the Raiders rival. I just, you know, the Raiders left in 94, 95, I'm not mistaken. So I would say like maybe more than 80%.
So no home field advantage for the Chargers. I almost said San Diego. No home field advantage for the Chargers in this game is my point. We think the Chargers are about 3.5 points better than the Raiders, but I don't want to take anything away from the Raiders. They've had a very impressive start to the season, really good play calling. I thought it was a little risky the way they were running the plays there at the end of overtime against Miami, but in a lot of ways, it's a tough spot for the Raiders. You know, they went to the East Coast. Then they come back. They play a 70-minute game against Miami. They've already had two overtime games against Baltimore and Miami. At some point, you think maybe this team will run out of gas a little bit. I do think it's a tough spot here, but I know that the crowd is going to be very much behind them in that game. And here in Nevada, that's going to be a huge handle Monday night game. because you got two really good teams, the local team, and people are getting excited about the Raiders after this 3-0 start.
Raiders have issues. Like, they're banged up on the offensive line. I really like their defensive front. And the speed, I think Gruden's doing a wonderful job utilizing speed. A lot of times these OCs or these play callers don't know how to utilize the speed that they have. They'll do like end arounds and things like this, but they won't get them fully downfield and stretch the defense. Remember, the Raiders lost, so they beat the Chiefs a year ago in Kansas City, and they lost, I believe, at New England, and that was when Ruggs was out. So just Ruggs being out doesn't stretch the defense, and then they could focus on Waller. So just knowing how to utilize and how a defensive coach will approach guarding the speed is such a crucial part of the offensive play calling. So I think they've done a really nice job with Ruggs and others on that team that can stretch the D. It's been really enjoyable to watch, and Carr's like really comfortable out there and making it easy, as Dan Orlovsky says. We'll take the check down throws, and something we talked about during the BetCast with the NFL Live crew and Orlovsky profiling that. So it's been awesome as a Raiders fan. I just, you know, you got to be realistic and practical with your team.
For sure, and I agree with what you said about Gruden's play calling. Sometimes some of his in-game management decisions I question a little bit, and they did sort of escape against a Miami team that was playing a backup quarterback, that was on the road. Not a great performance by the Raiders in that game, but I don't want to take away anything from their start because it's been very impressive.
So I would lean Chargers there, but how they botched the Cowboys game, maybe that's just inherent in the water there in that organization.
There was a lot of not to go too bitter ex, you know, old Redskins Cowboys rivalry fan here, but I thought the Chargers really got the short end of that of the stick from the referees in that game. Talking about the Dallas LA Charger game, so that game could have easily gone either way, and then we'd be talking about a 3-0 Chargers team here.
You mentioned Chiefs-Eagles. I was curious because Kansas City now 2-12 ATS in their last 14 dating back to last season, including the playoffs.
Yeah.
But the public keeps churning out on KC. Philly obviously looked rough in the Monday night game. Short week. They lead the NFL in penalties and penalties per yards and all that. I think Kansas City's played a really tough schedule, and they're very close to being 3-0. I know you are what your record is. You're 1-2. But they've played three potential playoff teams. I think this is just a giant talent gap here. I think KC gets right, but I'm not ready to lay 7 on the road either.
We had opened this game 5.5 on Sunday, last Sunday night. That's even after we saw Kansas City lose at home to the Chargers in that game I talked about. This is how bad Philadelphia looked on Monday night and how much of an onslaught of money is coming in on the Chiefs. That's what's made this number go from 5.5 to 7, even off of a Kansas City loss. Philadelphia, their defense looked terrible on Monday. I know Dallas is very good. I'm not taking it away from the Cowboys. Dallas is a very good team. But Philadelphia's defense looked terrible. I don't know that Jalen Hurts is the long-term answer there at quarterback for the Eagles. And the public, the onslaught of money we're seeing on KC, even though I think there's something like, 2-13 in their last 15 games against the spread, including the playoffs, something like that. But that's not deterring the public at all here. They're all over Kansas City. And Philadelphia is going to be a really big need for us in the morning. It'll be our biggest need in the morning, without question, although there is a lot of money on Tennessee against the Jets as well.
Ooh, we'll get to that in a sec. But just really, does it surprise you that they're still on this team that's 2-12 ATS? Because I figure this is some of the same people have been betting it every week.
No, it doesn't. Because it's a fair question. I know where you're coming from with that question. But the public bets on teams that score a lot of points. That's the number one thing they're looking for. High-powered offenses, they look at the line and they go, oh, geez, Kansas City is going to score a touchdown every time they get the ball. They'll have no problem covering 7 points. That's how they bet. That's how they've always bet. So it doesn't surprise me. I wouldn't be in a rush to lay 7 points on the road. I mean, I know I just badmouth the Eagles, but I do think that they're better than that. I thought that where we opened the game was a more appropriate line, 5.5. I think 7's a little much, but it's hard to really get behind Philadelphia after what we saw last on Monday night. And this is a big game for Kansas City. They can't afford to go 1-3 in a division where the Raiders are 3-0 and the Broncos are 3-0 and the Chargers are 2-1 and the Chargers have a head-to-head win in Kansas City. Kansas City, I know it sounds crazy. We're talking about a game on October 3rd, but I don't know that the Chiefs can really afford to lose this game. They're going to lose too much ground in that AFC West race.
You mentioned Tennessee and the Jets. Feed me.
Oh, I mean, another barn burner there. I think it'll be fun. I like watching the Jets. I like watching Zach Wilson and the Jets struggle. We did have a very respected player at the Super Bowl in Colorado bet Jets plus 8, and the number went to 7.5 off his action. Now it's down to 7 here at the Superbook. So the number has come down a little bit, but of course the public is all over the Titans. It's almost 15-1 Titans bets. Everybody is going to be against the Jets every week until Zach Wilson and that offense show a pulse. That's the truth. And you know that I was always a Sam Darnold apologist. I always thought he was stuck in a situation there that was just no one could succeed in with Adam Gase as the coach and no weapons. And now Darnold looks really good in Carolina. And this kid, Zach Wilson, looks like he's just in a situation that he can't control. And there's nothing he can do. And he looks lost out there.
Tough schedule for Zach Wilson, though. Like maybe like facing Denver defense, Belichick.
Sure. At Denver, yeah.
In Carolina, a little
point.
Tough.
And Carolina's good.
Yeah, I mean.
Oh, I agree with that. Good point.
You know,
for his first three games.
Yeah. I mean, it's. I'm curious. The rookie of the year kind of index futures is really interesting because Mac Jones is your favorite 4-1-ish. I like Trevor Lawrence at 10-1. Because the win-loss record doesn't matter.
Left.
Yeah, win-loss record doesn't matter, right? So unless you're like, you know, have like a great run and you're in the playoffs and whatever, which may happen with the Patriots, who knows? I mean, I don't see it. I did at the beginning of the season, but whatever. Because like last year, Herbert didn't win a bunch of games, but he had really good numbers. So my point is this, mm-hmm. Trevor Lawrence could figure things out. And if he is, in fact, this, you know, generational quarterback, he was coming out of high school. He was coming out of college. Like at some point, like it'll click enough that they'll either have garbage time or whatever. He's going to, like 10-1 for Trevor Lawrence is interesting.
Well, last year, Justin Herbert was a slam dunk offensive rookie of the year. I mean, we all knew that just a few games into the season. This guy's clearly the best rookie. He's going to win rookie of the year. Nobody has asserted themselves like that this season. So it could make sense to go for a long shot, like a 10-1 on a guy with Lawrence's pedigree.
Yeah, I mean, Jamar Chase is also among the favorites. It's give or take a few cents. So that could be interesting with, you know, the 5 first round quarterbacks. He's the guy who wins. That'd be pretty funny. But we're still in September. Remember, obviously, the next game will be in October. But something to keep in mind. Okay, let's keep going through the card. We don't have a ton of time here. Lions only catching 3. Big barn burner there. Lions and Bears.
You know, what's funny about this game? Everybody's on the Lions.
I know.
We've got Detroit plus 3 minus 120. It's an extremely one-sided ticket count, almost 10-1 on the dog. So that could be music to the ears of the Chicago Bears fans out there. Very, very popular public dog, the Detroit Lions. This is our 5th year doing this show together, and I don't think I've ever said that sentence. Have we ever said the Lions are a popular public underdog? I don't think so.
What's the tick count, 10 or 12-1?
About 10-1, a little shy of 10-1. It's important to remember we are talking on Thursday morning in Las Vegas. The majority of the bets are going to come in on the weekend, and the splits will tighten. But right now, it's all Lions. Nobody wants to bet on the Chicago Bears minus the 3 points. Maybe you do, Doug.
No, I don't want to watch the game, so I don't want to bet it.
Okay.
I think it's fascinating,
well,
though, because...
Just do what I do. Bet it and just put it to the side.
Chicago's such a punching bag right now. At the quarterback, Matt Nagy's got a word salad every time people ask him about Justin Fields. It's really just perplexing. Can't believe I was giving that guy some deference in terms of making the QB decision with Andy Dalton, because I didn't think Fields was ready anyway. But Nagy...
My brother and I were talking this morning, my brother Peter, we were talking about Mitchell Trubisky and how maybe that's a guy that teams should be targeting next offseason, because... if he could get to the postseason twice with Matt Nagy as his coach, maybe he's not that bad.
Right. It's like the Ryan Tannehill corollary with
maybe he's not that bad. Okay. All right. We'll see. I would just keep Trubisky in mind this offseason for desperate teams.
And, hey, he took him to the playoffs 2 out of 3 years. So
twice, yeah. It's not his fault they missed. The field goal against Philadelphia, the wild card round a few years ago, was tipped at the line. Otherwise, Chicago probably goes to the divisional playoff, Trubisky's rookie season.
And the Bears were in that game with the Saints even last year. They just botched like the bomb and like some other plays because Drew Brees was worthless last year in the playoffs.
That is correct.
Okay, Carolina-Dallas. All right, Cowboys 2-1. Big game at home against these undefeated Panthers. We're going to learn a lot about both teams.
Yeah, Carolina had a good win on last Thursday against Houston, but a very costly win. McCaffrey got banged up. J.C. Horn got banged up. Carolina is going to come into this game down a couple key players. We'll see how they deal with those injuries. But the Panthers have been very impressive. They're extremely well coached. Darnold looks really good. He looks like a borderline Pro Bowl player. Dallas's offense has looked incredible through 3 weeks. So this looks like the centerpiece game in the morning. The best of the early slate for week 4, and the action, it kind of shows that it's a well bet game with a lot of money coming in on both sides. So there's not a lot to report in terms of like ticket counts or wise guy money. It's just a very good handle game with money both ways.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch this game because I've been impressed with Dallas's defense. Micah Parsons actually leading the way. Is this really like a revamped defense, or are they just playing hard and like, well, a little bit in the beginning of the season? Like, that's what I want to learn, because this was an atrocious defense last year, even when Dak was healthy, right? Like, obviously I can see the wheels coming off and a team be dispirited after they lose their starting quarterback and have to play guys like DiNucci. But even when Dak was playing, they were 0-5 or whatever they were, ATS. Any Houston Texans money line tickets?
Let me see. Yeah. Yeah, there is.
What's the price on those?
Actually, the biggest one guy's got $200 at 9-1. So, there are a couple takers there. I'm just going to use Buffalo in Survivor myself. I don't want to get cute this week. I just want to take, like, when would you, like, what are you saving Buffalo for if you don't use them here against Houston?
Well, there's other opportunities. I mean, they're one of the best teams in the league.
I know so that, but
you
I
might
just,
need them
just,
late in the
just,
season when they're like, I mean, their division, they should go 6-0 in the division now. I mean, I wrote about Josh Allen for MVP at 10-1 because things that were baked into the odds are no longer the case. Like, they're now -400 to win the division. That certainly wasn't the case going into the season, but it looks like Miami and now New England has some quarterback issues, right? And that division doesn't seem like
a great team.
They just don't seem that it's going to be that competitive anymore. So they're going to have plenty of opportunities in Survivor.
I know what you're saying, but I think we're just going to go ahead and take the win here. They do play at the Jets, and then they play at home versus the Jets week 18. But to your point, that game might not mean anything for them. New York Jets at Buffalo week 18, the Bills might have already clinched their playoff, their division, or maybe
their
seed.
And most leagues are decided by then for survivor pools. Right. I mean, there'll be a big upset here and there.
We're not looking too far down the road. We'll go Bills there. That's about the only talking point I can come up with, because honestly, I know we always talk about how the public loves to play the favorites. When the point spreads are this big, they don't really get involved in the game. And that'll be one of the least bet games of the week, because the point spread is just so large, 16.5 right now at the Superbook. No one's really getting involved in that game. I think it's got the fewest tickets of any game on the board.
Two really interesting NFC West games in the afternoon slot. Arizona and the Rams. We're going to learn a lot about both teams. We know plenty about the Rams. This is kind of a measuring stick game for sure. And then also Seattle-San Francisco. I'm surprised the line's 3. I thought it should be 2.5.
A lot of sharp bets on Arizona right when we opened this game at 6.5. Came in on the Cardinals. We're down to 4.5. I see where the people betting Arizona are coming from, because it's a bad spot for the Rams. You know, that was such a big game for them, beating the Buccaneers on Sunday afternoon last week. It's a letdown spot, but I'm a big believer in that Rams team. I think they're the best team in the NFC, and I'd be careful loading up the gun to go against them right now. The other game, pretty split action here. Actually, a few more tickets on the dog, Seattle. You know, I don't think much of Seattle. I don't, it's not a team I'm really too high on. And the 49ers now need a win after kind of blowing the end of the game, the Green Bay, in a game that they trailed for much of the game, but they had it won and then they coughed it up.
I really like Seattle +3. I think it's a great spot. I just really, really like Seattle.
All right. Well, that's why you have this forum. You can,
yes, it's a bankroll bonanza. Also, Baltimore-Denver, really intriguing game.
Yeah.
We're going to learn a lot about the Broncos. They've had a really easy schedule, but they're 3-0 ATS as well. Teddy Bridgewater, his numbers passing, not the game manager numbers that he's had in the past, right? He's throwing the ball downfield. Mm-hmm. I like this Denver team in a lot of ways. A little concerned in terms of, I mean, they're not going to be like a, they're not a dominant team, but they're live in this division for sure. And then the Ravens off the big win. I think it's a tough spot for Baltimore. I like Denver here.
Yeah, you've seen the favorite flip in this game from Baltimore -1. Now Denver's -1, even though about 2.5-1 ticket count on the Baltimore Ravens. The number is still flipped from 1-1 the other way. Interesting game. Should be a very well-bet game. I like to use the term, we're going to need a side for our lungs. We're going to need the Ravens for our lungs at the Superbook in Colorado at the Lodge Casino there in Blackhawk, because the public in Colorado is firing on the Broncos, and the Broncos are 3-0 against the spread. You can imagine how our numbers have been on Sundays at Superbook Colorado.
Oh, I'm not sure. Great. Not great, Bob. Is right.
Yeah, not great. Not great.
Okay, so we sort of worked backwards. We did the Sunday and Monday night prime times first. We did the afternoon games, and nothing of note in Cleveland, Minnesota, although I think it could be a really well-played game. I mean, Minnesota's obviously had the missed field goals and the botching of the first two games. Like, they obviously could have been 2-0 as much as they were 0-2, and then they get the nice win, and then they got Cleveland at home here. Short favorite for the Brownies.
A lot of money on Cleveland from both sharp guys and public players. And the number's gone from a pick'em up to Cleveland -2. We saw some sharp guys lay 1.5 earlier in the week here. So there definitely has been some noteworthy betting on the game. We've also seen the total go from 53 down to 51.5. So it is one of the more interesting games in the morning. Certainly more talking points than a couple of these other games. But it won't be quite the centerpiece game. Dallas, Carolina, and Philadelphia, Kansas City are going to be taking most of the bettors' attention there in the morning.
All right, good stuff. Let's get to the bonanza. Strong start. Not even quite strong. Strong start for you, my friend. Out of the gates, undefeated, you upped it with the Dolphins +4.5. So just a glorious performance with you in the suits at the Big Al. And got a little hairy, needed the fourth down touchdown by Jacoby Brissett, but you get there and you're undefeated. Solid start for you, sir.
You know, I really wanted the game to end in a tie because you know how funny I think ties are. I think it's hilarious. And to have the game end in a tie when I'm getting points and I'm at the game, it probably would have been my favorite NFL game of all time to be there in person for a tie when I'm taking the points and I win my bet. How fantastic would that have been? But they did manage to stay within the number there. They scored the touchdown to go down by 2. And I'm like, oh, please don't get the 2-point conversion. And then, of course, they get it. And then we've got to go sit through overtime. And then, of course, the Raiders win the toss and they get the ball first. They held them to a field goal and they held them to a second field goal. Never in doubt.
Miami really botched at the end of regulation. They kicked a field goal. They had all the makings of getting a touchdown
there. Well, what about this forgotten play? So the Raiders kick a field goal
in overtime. Excuse me.
I agree with you. What about this forgotten play? Raiders kick a field goal to go up by 3 in overtime, and then Miami's got a 4th and 20, and that play was like right beneath us. And I'm okay. Well, they're obviously not going to get this, and the game's over. And Brissett completes it for a first down. And they go down the field and kick a field goal. It was a crazy game. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing for Aaron Rodgers to hit Devontae Adams right over the
middle.
But Brissett to convert a 4th and 20, you don't see that coming.
No, I did not see that coming.
All right, it goes without saying, you, my friend, are on the tee box first. You have the honors.
Yeah, I don't, to tell you the truth, I don't like as much this week. I see one side I do think is worth playing, Indianapolis. You can get them +2.5. our friends at Circa have that game. They're the only 2.5 that I see in Nevada right now, unless I'm looking at this wrong. But I'm only going to do that one for 1,000. I don't want to go too crazy with my fake dollars here. I'm going to go 1,100 to win 1,000 on Colts +2.5, which is available at Circa. I kind of like the Steelers, but I don't want to lay -120. And to get the 7 points, you've got to do -120. And you know me, it's hard enough to win at -110 in the NFL. If I could get a 2.5 on the Bears, I would probably do that. But I'll wait and see if that pops. If the Bears 2.5 presents itself here in the next few days, I would look to play there as well. But just for now, I'll go Colts 2.5.
You're just all about fading the you're back in the ugly teams, fading the popular side, if you will.
I love it. If you can't get on board with a Colts team that's 0-3 and whose quarterback can barely move, I mean, when can you get on board with an NFL bet?
Gosh. Okay. I'm not a fan of this card. I do like a couple things. I like Denver. I think it's a good spot for the Broncos. I'll get pick. Pick minus 05 at our friends at WinBet. I'll do a dime there on Denver pick minus 05. So we're looking at 3 minus 20, right, for Seattle at a few places. So BetMGM, Caesars.
Yeah. No, you know what? South Point has plus 3 flat. Seattle plus 3 minus 110, our buddies at the South Point.
Okay, I'll do a dime on the Seahawks. Kind of a page out of your book, right? Taking teams that coming off losses and things like that.
Ugly loss for Seattle.
And yeah. I do like teasers this week, and I do. I'm going to take Cincinnati tonight and tease it to Kansas City. I think they get the win. I think it's a strong performance from the Chiefs, and I'll do that for a dime as well.
Okay.
Got to get back somehow.
Another week is upon us, and, you know, next week might be my favorite week of the year in sports because next week we've got football, but we've also got the baseball playoffs starting on Tuesday. So next week is going to be fantastic, but in the meantime, a good week coming up here.
So not only do I have the Dodgers making a run for the World Series, and I'll be interested in their games, of course, but nothing will keep me more obsessed in baseball than the postseason awards. I am live in, like, all the markets.
Nice.
I have Ohtani at 25-1. So we're good there. That's a nice payout. But I'm actually going to have my biggest payout is Wander Franco 29-1 to win AL Rookie of the Year. And he's making a late charge. Well, certainly. He's now 7-1. You can get 7-1 at FanDuel and DraftKings.
I don't know. I've seen that. I don't understand that. I'm not saying he's going to win, but I think to me, Wander Franco should definitely win Rookie of the Year.
I think I think 7-1 is a good play.
I'm with you. I'm a big Wander Franco fan. He's been a godsend for my fantasy baseball team that otherwise hasn't been too good. But Wander Franco has been one of our bright spots. And I've got these Red Sox futures bets that I made way back at the start of the year. So I'm hoping that they can somehow find their way into the wild card game, which I believe is Tuesday night, the 5th.
Well, I will be rooting against you, maybe, because I have the Blue Jays at 28-1 just to win the pennant. So hopefully I need them to actually get in the playoffs. I believe that's how it works. They have to get into the playoffs for them to win the pennant. Mm-hmm. So we're going to need a little magic the last few days. But, yeah, so I need some Franco, and then I also have your boy Juan Soto at 100-1 to win the MVP.
Oh, he's the real National League MVP. Will they give him the award? I don't think so. But I mean, call me a homer if you want. But I think Juan Soto is the real National League MVP, and of course Ohtani's the American League MVP. Come on,
right? So, who do you think should get it, or who do you think will get it in the NL?
Not Bryce Harper, I guess.
It could be Harper. It could be Harper.
Bryce Harper.
He's the favorite right now.
Soto. Yeah, he's the favorite. I don't think it's going to be Soto, but I'd like to see him get it.
Man,
I think he should get it.
There's some baseball writers are saying like Soto's going to win it, and they talk to their colleagues. So I'm excited. Anyways, I had to just do that little thing. I touched on some of these awards that are still up at some places at the beginning of the pod, but that was before you jumped on. All right, my friend, enjoy your weekend. Enjoy, stay hot here for the bonanza for the listeners.
All right, buddy. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, that's going to do it for this edition of Daily Wager Extra. I hope you guys are all appreciating everything in one feed. So we got the daily weekdays, 10-minute podcasts, some fun stuff with props as well on game day. And then obviously the Daily Wager Extras we're doing it Sunday night with Mackenzie Kramer. And then on Thursday here, so like a long extended look to the NFL weekend.
Thanks for listening to Daily Wager Extra. Come back for new episodes 6 days a week, every week, wherever you get your podcast.